Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 1st, 2022. And today we are reading from the big book. We are in a chapter, We Agnostics. You'll find us on page 46, reading paragraph 1, and it begins like this. Yes, we have agnostic temperament, had these thoughts and experiences. And then ends with, it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. Today's readers are, in this brand new month, the 12 steps, Julie M., the 12 traditions, Patty F., reading the text today, and of support would be Becca R., Stephanie L., and Leslie M. At the end of the meeting, please listen for Jody E., who's going to greet newcomers and invite available sponsors to give their contact information. You might want to have pen and paper for that. And Leslie W., at 2 minutes before the top of the hour, we'll be giving you some announcements here at A Vision for You, and you don't want to miss any of that, so stay clear to the top of the hour. The share ID numbers for these Big Book Study meetings for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, which was November 30th, 2022, Wednesday, that is 19692, 19,692. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, the first day of December, step 12, would be 19698, 19,698. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Julie M. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, good morning, Julie.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Julie M. from Oregon with your 12 steps. We admitted, number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our life had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Julie M. from Oregon. I will now ask, let's see, Patty F. from Massachusetts, to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Star one, Patty, please.
Sorry about that. This is Patty F. from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you very much, Patty F. from Massachusetts. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and please only use the star 1 key function only for muting yourself. And also, please do not use speakerphones because they seem to interfere electronically from time to time, and it's difficult to hear. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 46 in the chapter We Agnostics, and we're going to take apart and explore the study of paragraph 1. And it begins with, yes, we have agnostic temperament, have had these thoughts and these experiences, and ends with, comprehend that power which is God. That's where you'll find us this morning. And what I'd like to do is ask Becca R. to please read that paragraph and then start us off by sharing her experience, strength, and hope on how she looks at that particular paragraph, and then we'll open it up to the rest of the fellowship here to be able to share on it as well. Good morning, Becca.
Good morning, Melanie. Thanks. I'm Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in this morning from Kentucky. Yes, we of agnostic temperament have had these thoughts and experiences. Let us make haste to reassure you. We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. And that's my experience. I'm really grateful for sponsorship that really pressed me into moving through the steps quickly. I could give you 100 reasons why I couldn't do the work, but when I was ready to come all the way in and sit all the way down, I did it. And God just carved out pockets of time each day for me to devote to studying the Big Book and diving into the step work with my sponsor. And what that gave me was a connection to a power greater than myself. As I started to put days of abstinence together, as I started to utilize the tools that I was learning in the program, and I was doing Rather, something was happening to me that I was never able to do on my own accord. And that was not only staying abstinent, but to start facing life and using the tools, you know, one of which was my sponsor. I'm so grateful for strong sponsorship and direction and guidance. And so I'm really grateful to also, as a recovered person today, to continue to grow in understanding and deepening a relationship with my higher power, that it's ever evolving and that I get to do it alongside my fellows in the rooms. Really excited to see what everyone has to share. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Becca R. Appreciate it. That's Becca R. from Kentucky. So now is the time to open up the lines for those that would like to share. I'd like to take your first name, the first letter of your last name, and perhaps your state, so I can take a line up of folks that want to share on that paragraph. The paragraph is paragraph one.
New York.
Okay, hi, Elena. Got you. Hang on just 1 second. And then it's paragraph one. Begins with, yes, we agnostic temperament have had these thoughts and experiences. We're going to take apart that today. But I also wanted to say we do value everyone's experience here, every single one, and we have so many people on the line, thank God. So we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, perhaps since Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, today might be your day. And I have Elaine G. first from New York. Who else?
Wendy
Michelle
B.
J.
Margaret
Wendy
D.
And Michelle and Barbara.
Margaret D.
Oh, it's Margaret. I thought it was Margaret. Margaret.
Oh, sorry.
D. Okay. I just heard it differently. That's fine. Okay.
Did you get Wendy B?
I did get Wendy B. Yep.
Karen K.
And S.
Karen K. And then who said something after Karen K?
Jan S.
Jan S. Let's go with that lineup. That sounds good. That'll be six of us. So we have Elaine G., Wendy B., Michelle, Margaret D., Karen K., and Jan S. So let's start out with Elaine G. for 3 minutes. Hello there.
Oh, hi, everybody. This is Elaine from New York. When I got out of the back paragraph, is like, especially doing service, someone called me on the phone from one of my meetings, and you know, she sounded down and out, and I was giving her some suggestions, and, you know, what worked for me, it seemed like she disregarded them, whatever, and I realized that she was really suffering like I have, you know, and I said to myself, do not judge her, but go back and go talk to her on the phone. Maybe this time she'll hear you, you know, because I know when, you know, when I'm in that state, I don't want to listen to anybody. You know, so we all have this common bond, and you know, like to disregard the prejudice, whether you like the person or not. You just wanna, you all wanna help each other. That's what it's all about, helping each other. That's how the 12 steps, especially AA, started. You know, unity. You know, and I'm suffering right now, but. I got a new sponsor. That's a good thing. And I got to do exactly what she tells me. Not what I want, you know? And every morning when I wake up, whether I'm absent or not, I pray to God I got another shot at another day, and this day will be better. You know, thanks.
Thank you very much, Elaine G. Elaine G. is from New York. Next up is Wendy B. from Arizona, followed by Michelle. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I looked up the definition of an agnostic temperament, and it's a person who holds the view that any ultimate reality, such as God, is unknown and probably unknowable. And so it's someone who hasn't experienced an awareness of God yet. Maybe it's someone who has heard of God, you know, but they see what a mess the world's in. They see all the chaos and the evil, and they can't believe a loving God would allow it, you know. And my experience is God allows us to pursue, you know, whatever we're pursuing, you know, until we have so many consequences piling up that, you know, we come to the place of crying out for help. And, you know, when our self-knowledge stops working for us, you know, so all the chaos and the evil, you know, all around us is God giving man free will. You know, it's all self-will run riot. And, you know, we get to choose to pursue our fleshly desires or our intellectual pursuits, you know, and until we're done, you know, until we admit defeat and turn to God and acknowledge his existence, you know, and surrender to his plan. And we get to the place that we're just so desperate, you know, that we're willing to try anything. You know, we become willing to humble ourselves and admit that, you know, we were wrong, you know, that what we believed, you know, what our whole life, you know, just wasn't the truth. And, you know, it says we need to lay aside our prejudices. And that always reminds me of the term contempt prior to investigation in the spiritual experience. I looked up the definition, and it says of prejudice, and it says an opinion or decision formed without due examination of the facts which are necessary to come to a just and impartial determination. And so to me, you know, to get the necessary facts about God, you know, you need to have an experience, you know, of coming to know him, you know, of asking him to reveal himself to you, you know, in your innermost being, and choosing faith, you know, that what you're sensing is God. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. from Arizona. Next up, Michelle J. from Arkansas.
Yes, that's me.
By Margaret B. Oh, good. Thank you. Great.
And thank you. Yeah, Michelle J. calling us from Arkansas. Been in this 12-step program for a little over 4 years. And wow, this is the opportunity for me to share once again my hope, my life. And, you know, almost 40 years ago, age 25, I was an atheist. I believed in nothing or no one. I trusted nothing or no one at 25, and I was crashing and burning and through a series of just surrendering and just saying, okay, show me. God, who are you? Okay, God, if you're there, help me find you. Okay, God, now what? What do I do? God led me to so much. Okay, so almost 40 years ago, I finally surrendered. Okay, there is a God. He is God, and I surrendered to this God. And I woke up the next morning, and 12 years of tobacco addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, cussing addiction were removed, and 40 years later, they're still removed. Now, food has not been removed, but it's always this thing where God is saying, I am. Who's doing this? I am. Who's going to help me through this? I am. Who do you need today? The I am. And, you know, I love it because it's the Christmas season, it's the whatever. I'm celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ because what he did for me 40 years ago resonates all through my first step, my second step, my third step, all the way up in my program. And it's this continual reminder, I'm not God, he is, I can trust. It is the most wonderful way to live. And God is just doing the most miraculous recoveries in my life and have been for over 4 years now in this program, just adding more and more of his truth into me and my deliverances of so much. And food is one of them. He continues to tell me, you don't need that. You need me. You don't need success. You need me. You don't need a fat bank book. You need me. I am. Remember. And I just got chills. Anyways, with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you for letting me share my experience and my hope.
Thank you very much, Michelle J. from Arkansas. Next up is Margaret D., followed by Karen K., and then we're going to open it up again in about 6 or 8 minutes, so hang in there. Hey, Margaret.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and thank you all for your service and just for being here today. Can you point me out to the page again? I just completely have lost my place.
You betcha. We're on page 46, paragraph 1. It's down the halfway page. It says, yes, the agnostic temperament begins.
There we go. Okay. So this whole paragraph just, it's like an artist just came and painted a picture, and I'm like, oh my God, that's me. I remember the moment that I consciously decided to change my temperament from that of somebody who, and I was 10 years old at the time, but anyways, from somebody who's actively in contact with their higher power. Things had not been going well, to say the least. And when I was 10 years old, one night, you know, the book talks about sitting under a starlit sky saying, you know, who made all this? Who did all this? Well, I remember sitting under a starlit sky going, God, if this is the best you can do, I don't want it. I don't want it. You just are not, you just, I kicked God out of my life. I just shut down. It was like, no. You know, a dead frog could do better than this. And so my spiritual and emotional life turned into one of just being angry at everybody and everything and trying to push people out and trying to take control and just general insanity. So I got into program around 1987. With that same temperament, did, you know, a bunch of 4 steps during the years and 10 steps and the rest of it. With that same temperament going on about, on a very deep level, I didn't even realize this. And fast forward 33 years later, I was crazier than ever. And I just told a friend of mine that I was going to drop out of program. And I knew what was going to happen. I was going to die. That's all there was to it. And I was at my lowest point, and I'd literally just given up completely. And that was the point when God, when I allowed God, I took all the...
That would be time.
Yeah, with that, I'll pass then. But yes, I'll pass. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome. Before I invite Karen K up to the mic and podium, I'd like to remind others that we're going to be opening up the lines in about 6 minutes or so for others to comment on page 46, paragraph 1, that begins with, yes, we have agnostic temperament. I'm going to comment on that paragraph only. And so get ready, 6 more minutes or so. In the meantime, Karen K, you're up for 3 minutes.
Good morning. I'm Karen Kay, recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer even when I did my first steps in OA. And I still have pockets of agnosticism in my life, but they're very short-lived today because of, I really have to say, 3 years ago when I got on this meeting saved my life. I don't believe... I mean, and know it's all God. I don't believe I would be in such a recovered state that enough to be well enough to be married or accept my husband's love and to be able to give it away, you know, to be patient with someone, I work with, you know, she's struggling to find that higher power within herself, you know, to build that relationship. And I said, you can borrow mine. And the poor thing started crying. It was so beautiful, you know, and I'm never going to fall short from being a human being. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to take my will back. And then God watches me. He's with let go or be dragged. My God will love me no matter where I'm at. I can choose to let go and surrender, give everything to God. And then when I'm able to do that, it's God's grace is sufficient. I'm able to, being in my higher power's presence. When I'm able to do that, then when something hits the fan, I have the skills and the ability, then the grace to be able to deal with that. Yeah, this pockets, you know, they're probably going to be with me for the rest of my life, but you know it's not going to be. It will be there for the rest of my life is my relationship with God. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Karen K. from New York. Next up, before we open up for additional comment, would be Jan S. for 3 minutes from California. Hey, Jan.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jan S., as in Sam, from Southern California, and I appreciate everyone's service and share today. I love the shares that I've already heard during this session. I was fortunate to get on this morning and hear a little bit of the earlier shares. And this paragraph brings me back to when I first came into program. And I came in with a background of a loving God. So I couldn't quite figure out why I was such a mess. And one day I was sitting in one of our rooms and a newcomer came in. And this is the beauty of the newcomers. They speak what we need to hear. And she said, I believe in God, but did I believe God? And I thought, yep, that was me. So when I look at this paragraph and that thought, I'm wondering if I was not myself in that agnostic state. And I do remember that when I came into this program, that in step two, I backtrack a little bit. I was completely spiritually bankrupt when I came in. So when I was reading step two in the OA 12 and 12, this is a sentence that jumped out at me. We became willing to start fresh with our higher power. We became willing for it to be changed. And that's what I was desperate for. And today, that's what I find in our set-aside prayer. And I'm so grateful for that prayer because it lets me put everything aside that I thought I knew. And I feel like a newcomer, which I love, because that gives me an open mind and an open heart and an open spirit to receive. I'm working with a sponsor, and she, I'm to say that set-aside prayer before we talk, before I call anyone, before I share. And it reminds me that I'm here for a new relationship. And from the shares I've heard today, they help guide me in this new relationship. And with that, I pass. And I wish everyone a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jan S., for your share this morning. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 46 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you'd like to share, I'd love to hear your first name, first letter of your last name, and perhaps your state. And just a reminder, if you've shared on maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe tomorrow would be your day to share. But otherwise, I'd love to hear from some of the voices this morning, if you're there.
Robin L. from North Carolina.
Robin L. from North Carolina. Dion R. Hi.
Joanne P. Pennsylvania.
Joanne P., is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Mary A.
Mary A.
California.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go with that lineup now. Those four, and then we'll see what the time looks like and go from there. So we have Robin L., Dion R., Joanne P., and Mary A. First up, Robin L. Good morning.
Okay,
good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. I'm looking at that phrase, lay aside prejudice, and I'm thinking about the concept that someone shared with me of just setting aside the thing that isn't working. I don't have to admit right away that I'm wrong or that my theory is wrong or my perspective is skewed. I don't have to make any proclamations about the beliefs that I'm holding. All I have to do is slide it out of my view so that it's more over there on the periphery and it's not the thing that I'm focused on. And then there's an open space in me to consider that maybe there's another way to look at this. At the end of this paragraph, it talks about we commenced to get results even though we couldn't fully define or comprehend the power. And for me, that means even though I'm pretty sure that this other way is not right and my old way is right,
And I have a lot of rational thinking behind that. I can admit that what I'm doing is not working. I mean, that's one of my favorite sentences in this book. It didn't work. And that's the only reason I set it aside. So what I'm doing isn't working. And so now I've got an open slot. I have no idea what it is I'm looking for or how to define it, or even maybe even I may not even see it when I may not even notice it when I first see it. But I'm simply leaving an open place for something new to come in. And more often than not, just the act of sliding an old belief out of my focus leaves enough willingness in me that new ideas are planted and I'm able to try them on. Just like setting aside clothes that don't work, I can try on something new and it will grow on me, or it won't. I mean, sometimes the first idea I have is not all that helpful, but at least it's open and there's a possibility for hope. And there's no possibility for hope when I'm clinging to the old idea. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much. That would be Robin L. from North Carolina. Next up is Dion R. from Ohio, followed by Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. Hey, Dion.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, Melanie and everyone on the line. It's good to be a part of the living, and thank you all for your shares. I just love it. It's like, oh, what else can I say? This is so bubbly. The set-aside prayer, that is what I get out of that paragraph as well. That is part of the set-aside prayer in this chapter, and just looking at my outline, there's so many parts of the set-aside prayer that in the We Agnostic, and just knowing that this is we of agnostic temperament, where that's where I related, because I was that in the beginning. After life kicked my butt so bad, and with my cooperation, I remember feeling like, I don't know if there really is a God, and if he is, do I really want to deal with him? But God, right, and the people in the program, my fellowship, I saw people change amongst me. I saw them lose weight. I saw them be around food and then not hunt them. I saw their relationships change, and God showed me God through them. And it was the same God I had as a kid, but my mind shut closed because of whatever reason of life, the way I dealt with it. And the program helped it open back up, like someone just said, just a little bit. Not to say my way was wrong or their way was wrong. Even people came in with the belief of God. I've seen their ideas change on their concept of how they treat people and how they live and how they love and how they their relationship with their higher power. So it's just like, okay, I love that analogy. Okay, it's okay to have this outfit. I might want to try something different. You know, look more cuter. I don't know, you know. But the gift is, the more my mind stays open to the spiritual approach and spiritual experiences, the better my life becomes. I did this analogy, and I'll share with any newcomer who would love to use it. I asked God to show me if he was real. Give me proof. Woof. Be careful what you ask for. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Dion R. from Ohio. Next up, Joanne P. from Pennsylvania, followed by Mary A.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, living one day at a time and just loving this paragraph and loving all of you and your shares. And oh, my goodness, how this speaks to me. First of all, it's impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend who God is in our life. I feel like I came into this program knowing God, but the God I knew was the God that I saw in nature. I communed with God in nature, like the beautiful stars in the sky, the sunsets, the sunrise. You know, the ocean, watching the waves come up to the shore, and walking in the woods, and just feeling like I could commune with God in nature. And then when I got in the program, I realized that I was not agnostic. I thought, I really don't need this because I know God, but I was an agnostic because, yeah, I could feel God's presence in my life, but I was playing God. I was trying to run the show. I thought I was in charge. And that's when I saw the agnosticism in me. And every day today, when I do my nightly review, I start off with a set-aside prayer, because all of you in this program has taught me to set aside everything I think I know about myself and others. Wow, am I learning so much about myself, working with an amazing sponsor, doing the steps, feeling God's presence in my life every day. I'm just so thankful for our program and for our fellowship, working with others, and you all help me so much. I love this meeting, and yeah, and I love all of you, so with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. Next up is Mary A. from California for 3 minutes, and I think we're going to be able to take a couple of more after that, so get prepared. Paragraph 1, page 46, Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, We Agnostics. Hey, Mary A., good morning to you.
Oh, hi. I was trying to work the unmute thing. Excuse me. Mary, bulimic, compulsive eater. This paragraph really spoke to me in regards to my level of trust when I first came into program. I really did not believe that there was a God. I started out that way, but then through, you know, situations in life, I came to believe that there was no God. And like I heard earlier, I thought to myself, if there was a God, I'm not buying it. I don't like it. It can be done better. But I was in a state of complete self-pity, and I wasn't aware of that. I thought that was, you know, people are getting down on me, and people are taking advantage of me, and how in the world can I go on? And then I came to program, and I acted as if, because I couldn't believe in God. But when the miracles started happening, things that I didn't believe were possible, getting a decent amount of food rather than what I want, when I want, how much I want, how often I want it. And I fully believe in a higher power today that controls my life. I don't have to worry about a thing. I turn my life and my will over in the morning, and I go out and I go on with my life. And if something good happens, I rejoice and I'm grateful. If something bad happens, I look for the plus in it. And I never did that before. And to me, that's a miracle. And I'm a very, very happy person today. And I can't imagine living without the 12 steps. I just can't imagine that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Mary A. from California. The lines are now open for at least 3 individuals to share on the paragraph, paragraph 1, page 46. The topic seems to be agnostics and how we deal with that. If you'd like to share, I'd like to get your first name, first letter of your last name, and your state. Star 1, please.
This is Susan. I'd like to share.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Thanks, Susan, for stepping in here from Pennsylvania. Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you, Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay. Let's go with those two and see what happens. Susan, you want to just jump right in for 3?
Sure.
Thank you.
I really didn't want to share, but I felt the pause there was God calling me to share. I'm really struggling. I'm struggling with believing because of my health issues and suffering and chronic pain daily, pretty severe, and asking myself, why would God allow this? And I had a God that I thought was all healing, you know, all powerful. And I'm finding myself, why would God allow this? Why would God allow me to lose my career, my social life, my dating life? I just need to put this out there. I need help finding my faith again and finding my trust again, because I'm not doing well. My life's just become very, very unmanageable, and I'm not abstinent. My food's not good, and just very, very unmanageable. And I feel like I'm hitting the bottom, but I'm just very angry, very angry. And yeah, if anybody has a similar story, it sounds like people do. I'm on back on the line at the right time. I think I'm realizing how agnostic I am. I just have a lot of questions, and I'm not sure where to begin, other than to get honest about where I'm at. So it's very hard for me to say this to all of you, but I feel like it's all I can do right now. And thank you.
Thank you, Susan B. Before you step off, I don't know if you've introduced yourself as a newcomer before. There's that opportunity to do that, so you can get phone calls, or please call some of us, please. My line is open always to give help if I can. Don't go anywhere. Next up is Jordan L., please, from Colorado for 3 minutes.
Hey, thanks, Mel, for moderating for us this morning. And definitely don't go anywhere, for sure. My name is Jordan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. And I say that as a reminder for me, because there was a time where this was the last place in the world I wanted to be. And now, like, I am truly, truly grateful, not only to be here, but to want to be here. To like want to get up every morning and get on this meeting and get like a dose of this big book and this fellowship and this power that works in my life today. So I was like Bill, like I really had some trouble with I don't think I even had like trouble with God. I think I had a lot of trouble with what other people would say about God. And I can't even say that like that's gone away. I still bristle sometimes at some of the stuff that other people say about God. And I don't know if that'll ever go away. Like that kind of is what it is at this point. But what happened for me was it wasn't understanding my powerlessness. It was understanding the unmanageability. Like when I really grasp what it means for my life to be unmanageable as a result of my eating disorder, it really opens me up to I guess like it says here, like laying aside that prejudice. And laying aside the prejudice, like just like for me it was just like, okay, I'm gonna stop listening to what other people have to say about God and I'm gonna like explore this personal relationship for myself. And that willingness really does come. It's kind of like the meeting, you know, like I want to be on the meeting today. My relationship with a higher power today is the same. And I use the term higher power, God of my understanding, all of that is interchangeable. Frankly, it really doesn't matter what those terms mean to anyone else. Like, this is a personal relationship that I have with my God, my higher power. And really, it only matters to me,
you know? It's completely and totally personal. No one else can change it or take it away or any of that. And it's arrested my eating disorder and my obsessive little mind. So I'm very grateful again. Thanks. That's all I got.
Thank you so much. Jordan L. from Colorado, it does look like we have about 2 minutes, maybe 2.25 minutes to share on the paragraph one, page 46. Would love to hear you take us out this morning. If you're interested, I'll grab your name and the first initial of your last name.
This is Danielle from New York.
Laura M. That would be you. Oh, I'm so sorry, Laura. Danielle spoke in just a second before you, but thank you so much for those that are interested. That's lovely. But for now, we'll listen to the 3 minutes or less from Danielle O. from New York.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. My name's Danielle from New York. What a beautiful place to be this morning. I didn't know that this meeting would be so amazing. So I've only been here for 30 days. And prior to that, I was on a 5-year research project, which availed nothing but a broken heart and a lot more weight and health conditions. I knew that those were going to happen, and yet I still ate. The power of this addiction is so cutting, baffling, and powerful, and most of all, patient. You know, it will wait for me to be at my worst before I reach out and do anything. But it has been restored rather quickly as well, and that's the promise of a lot of things. It's not just about my physical body; it's about my spiritual being. It's about the things that I present to God as being. Like, this is my bottom. This is it. I can't do it anymore. Thank God for bottoms. Thank God for the willingness to reach out and do something about it. You know, and I look at those 30 days ago, and I think, why didn't I do it sooner? But I can't even get stuck on that moment, that little, like, why? It was because the addiction was more powerful at the time. But I also knew that what was behind that was going to be a whole lot of medical issues, including diabetes, high blood pressure. And I'm at the age right now where I can't be messing with that kind of stuff. You know, if things are going to start going bad, it's going to be because I'm getting older and it's always been a habit. Well, those habits have been broken. And every day that I get to be a part of the solution with the steps, being on meetings, doing all the things that they ask me to do, at one point I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. But then there came a day and I said, well, you know, nothing else that I'm trying is going to work or had worked. So I'm just watching myself learn, grow, be willing, you know, extend myself, don't give up, keep working on it. And it's all because I found a relationship with God somewhere in all of this 30 days. And I'm very grateful for that. I mean, it went bad rather quickly for me because I already had a faith in God prior to coming here, and it has just continued to grow and grow. And I'm so, so thankful for everybody who was here this morning. I have some amazing talks. And for those who are struggling, I wish you all a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your share that took us out on a strong note this morning. Appreciate all those that shared this morning. It was a great, great kickoff to the 12th month, 12th step in agnosticism and how this particular thing grows. No, we're going to say, we're going to close this meeting out, the recorded portion, by reading from 164. Then we will say the Serenity Prayer together, but we're not finished. Please don't leave. We have a good 10 more minutes left of this meeting, and we're going to greet newcomers, get sponsor contact information, and give you some announcements here. So stay tight to the top of the hour. Keep your seat warm there. And I'd like to then invite Stephanie L. to please read page 164. A book is meant to be suggestive only.
Morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you.